We're live, my friends. We're live. This is Lena.
Are you singing or crying?
I'm just excited. We're live right now. This is like a wailing cry.
I'm so excited. Who are you?
Tonight, I guess I'm Ree.
And welcome to a long-awaited, patiently-awaited, smacking-your-hands-awaited, I don't even know, like chomping on your nails.
Praise him.
Chomping on your nails, guys. Chomping on your nails.
Can we not eat nails right now?
Yeah, don't please. Wash your hands. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Don't touch your mouth. Wash your hands, people. So, by that, you know that we're in the midst of this crazy
pandemic
of what is now the coronavirus.
Corona
virus. So all you peoples, put the corona down.
I'm playing with y'all. So just hi, how you doing, friends? Hi. We have been going through so much greatness in these last 3 months. With all the excitement of life, we have not been able to stop and say hello to you guys. So we wanted to change that today and just take a few minutes. It might not even be a long, just to say howdy and to see how you guys were doing and just check in with you guys. We are A-okay. We're actually doing really great.
A-okay.
We're doing really great. And just wanted to catch up with you guys because we are, we've had this topic on in our hearts for a while now and just haven't been able to, like I said, hop on here and just communicate that with you guys. So here we are. Our topic that we wanted to do, our first topic that we wanted to do in this new year was talk about the difference in our own lives about relationship and
religion.
You know, a lot of people don't see a difference and can't tell a difference between having a relationship with God and being religious. And one of the things that I love, and you guys will hear us typing, we are multitasking mothers right now. One of the things that I love to always compare is Jesus, right? And in his life, and when he started really doing his ministry, so from the moment where he was in that party and his mom asked him to turn the water into wine and he's like, woman, it's not my time, but yet he still did it. From that moment forward is when you really start seeing the manifestation of Jesus and really you start hearing about his life and how he carried and how he reached the people. But then you also hear about what is called the Pharisees and the Sadducees, right? Did I say that right?
I'm getting biblically educated. Because if you guys don't know, Ree lives according to Reebonics. And Reebonics is basically the Bible in Ree's terminology for her special brain. So go ahead. Go ahead, Instructor Lena. Continue on with our biblical knowledge, please.
And Sadducees. Hold on. We're online. The Pharisees and the Sadducees. I'm going to have to look up the spelling of this.
Pharisees?
If that's how you want to say it.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah. So Jesus addresses them all the time, right? Here we go. Pharisees. So if we want to see how we actually, guys, I'm on Google because I want to see how you say the word. Listen to Google.
Pharisee.
You see? So Pharisee is a member of an ancient Jewish sector, or sec, distinguished by strict observation of the traditional and written law commonly held to have pretensions to superior sanctities. Whatever, guys. I don't know how to read out loud, obviously. I've come to learn that in the last few months. Right? So you have the Pharisees, right? So I'm going to read these to you. I just found this right now on Google. Pharisees, what they're described as law, interpretations of the Torah, middle class, resurrection of the dead, or they believe in that, right? Belief in afterlife, and rejected the Jewish leaders. The Sadducees, it says temple, they believed just the Torah alone. They were the upper class. They didn't believe in the resurrection. They didn't believe in afterlife. And they supported the Jewish leaders, right? So these were the people that were in the church. So these are what we're going to address to as the religious. You know, they just felt like, what's in the Torah? Because remember, when Jesus lived, there was no Bible. There was no Bible. There were the, what we now call the Old Testament, right? Which consists of like the book of Genesis, the book of Exodus, Numbers, 1 Kings, 2 Kings. They didn't have Jesus' life in there. And that's what these people stuck by. They stuck by the law of Moses of, you know, you have to be circumcised. They stuck on the no divorce, no this. And, you know, you even see that in one of the parables, in one of the times that Jesus is talking to them, where they tested him and was like, well, do you believe in divorce? You know what I mean? And they also tested him again, talking about, you know, Caesar's money as opposed to God's money. And he's like, whose face is on that coin? Is it not Caesar's? So give him back what's his. You know, Jesus during his time wasn't just strictly law, but yet he carried out the law. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? He was the living word and still is the living word. Where what the Bible said about him and what it spoke about God's way, he demonstrated that without it being religious. So like the religious on a Saturday or on a, not a Saturday, because Saturday is not always the Sabbath, but on the Sabbath, because we don't know when they, Reed, do you know what day they held the Sabbath on?
No.
No, right? So we're just going to say the Sabbath, which means a seventh day. Mm-hmm. So on that seventh day that it was Jewish tradition that they would rest, he would perform miracles to heal people. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees would look at him like he is, you know, he's committing the worst sin ever. Like, you can't work on the Sabbath. And my favorite parable that Jesus responds to him was like, if your child or your donkey, falls on a well, and I don't know if it's like a well or a ditch, sorry, if it falls on a ditch, won't you go and rescue it? Basically saying, okay, I understand that your law and I understand what you're saying, but there's exceptions. You don't always have to be like, oh my gosh, it says this and this is what I should do. It's like, no, be led by the Spirit. And that's what Jesus was all the time. He was always being led by the Spirit, always listening to what God was telling him, as opposed to listening to what the world was telling him. And I think that's the big difference of religion and relationship. When you have the relationship, like you have that intimacy where you know that, hey, even though this may be wrong to everyone else, like, God, I know you'll be pleased with this. And I'm going to do this because I'm not here to please people. I'm here to please you. And I remember growing up, you know, and I don't mean to offend anyone. Like, I grew up kind of like with a religious mindset. Where it's like, you can't do this and you can't do that. And it has to be done this way and it has to be done that way. And again, it's not to offend anybody, because a belief is a belief. And it's up to you how you carried it out. But I see the difference of when I was quote-unquote religious. When I did things because I was expected to do it or because I ought to do it, as opposed to now I do things because I want to do it. I want to please the Lord. I want, you know, like I know that what I'm doing is edifying him and it's glorifying him and it's giving, you know, giving him the glory and giving him the praise and reserving nothing for me, but just doing everything solely unto him, you know what I mean? And that for me has been such a difference in me knowing that, man, for example, if I lied to Ree and like I just bold-faced lied to her, the law would tell me, you know, the religion will tell me that was wrong and God is walking away from me and God doesn't see me. But me knowing that I have a relationship with him, I'm like, you know, God, man, I was wrong for lying to Ree. Forgive me for lying to Ree. And I won't feel like he doesn't love me or that he's walked away from me.
Yeah, and it's interesting. While you were talking, I actually looked up the Webster definition of relationship, and it actually states, guys, that a relationship is the state of being connected. And all these downloads from God are just happening right now with his Holy Spirit, so forgive me as I enter into this. So think about it. Religion is in regards to a system. If we're looking at the definition of religion, it's in regards to a particular system. Mm-hmm. So when you're actually reading your Bible and you're looking through the Word of God, constantly you're going to see the messages of speak to me, he spoke to them, he went with them, he was with them. You know, so many times in the Bible, the conversations and the interactions between Jesus and the people, or between God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, that relationship of the Trinity that's expressed in the Bible, that's all connections. They're talking and they're communicating between each other and others, the same way we would communicate with our friends, mm-hmm. the same way we could communicate with just someone we're trying to establish a connection with. And I think that's the biggest thing, because we see in the Word of God that that's how Jesus communicated. He communicated with a speech of relationship. Mm-hmm. But yet we get so caught up on religion. Meanwhile, he specifically states that we're supposed to be in the image and likeness of Christ. Well, that image and likeness of Christ also contains how he acted, how he spoke. Therefore, calling us to establish a relationship with him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's funny. So remember I was talking about like Jesus and addressing the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 23, right? This is Jesus like saying, hey, Pharisees, like condemning them, not condemning them, but just warning them. Mm-hmm. You know, in the Bible, whenever you see whoa, it's like beware. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, hey, beware. So here he goes, and I'm reading this out of the New King James. I personally like the NIV, but I find that a lot of people don't read the NIV. It's easier for me reading in the translation. Like, I just get it. But I know a lot of people do different versions, so I'm going to just stick with the New King James version, which is one of the most popular versions there is of the Bible. So Jesus says, then Jesus spoke to the multitudes and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do. But do not do according to their works, for they say and do not do. For they bind heavy burdens hard to bear and lay them on men's shoulder, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do to be seen by men. They make their I don't know the word, guys. I'm not gonna jump. So they love the best places at the feast, the best seats at the synagogues. The synagogues is like the churches, greeting in the marketplace. And to be called by men, rabbi, rabbi. So rabbi means like preacher, teacher. But you do not be called rabbi. For one One is your teacher, the Christ, and you are all brethren. Do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your father, he who is in heaven. And do not be called teachers, for one is your teacher, the Christ. But he who is great amongst you shall be your servant. And whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and the humble, and who humbles himself will be exalted. Right? And then I love this part on verse 13, and I think after this I'll kind of stop, because he just keeps telling them, like, whoa, like, beware, like, whoa. Like, I love it. But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense, make long prayers. Therefore, you will receive greater condemnation. So this is the, again, this is the comparison and coming straight from Jesus, talking about the religious. You know what I mean? When he said here in the earlier part, when I was trying to read in my non-reading self, I used to do really great reading out loud. I think I'm going to really start reading out loud all the time, just so I can get in the practice of hearing myself read. Because it's been a while. It's been since, like, school days that, you know, I don't do that. And that was a while ago, guys. Shut up. I hear you guys judging me on my age. But I loved here where it says, on verse 3, he tells them, hey, obey what they're telling you, but just don't do as they do. You know, because Moses wrote the Ten Commandments. And he's talking about they sit in Moses' seat. So they sit in that seat of, like, authority to be able to tell you what to do. Mm-hmm. Do what they tell you to do, but don't do as they do.
Yeah.
You know, and I think people get that confused of seeing somebody and be like, oh, look, they're quote-unquote Christian, or they're Catholic, or they're this, but look at what they're doing. Okay, do what they tell you to do. So, hey, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Do that. But don't do that wrong thing that they're doing. You know what I mean? Don't look at the lie or the deceit or whatever it is that they're doing that's outside of Christ's character. You know what I mean? Like, don't do that part, but still listen to what they're in telling you, because they're in that authority seat. And here again, it's talking about the Pharisees, which were in
the authority,
quote unquote, authorities, and they had power in the church. So it's like, listen, you still have to submit to your leaders. You still have to submit to those that are above you, but don't do as they do. You know, don't go around calling people your teacher, because there's only one teacher, which is Jesus. He is our teacher of the standard. Excuse me. I ate dinner and I'm just like hiccuping. Like, the standard that we're supposed to live on, it's not Abraham. Mm. It's not Adam, which are old testament. It's not Moses, but it's Jesus. He's our standard. So it's telling us here, like, Christ, whenever you see the word Christ, it's talking about Jesus, right? Because he's our Messiah, he's our Savior.
Yeah.
Don't do as other people do, but do as Christ showed you to do. So learn from the way that he walked his life in love, humility, you know, and it talks about that who is greater will humble himself and serve you. Jesus, being all God, coming out of his throne in heaven, came to serve us, to perform signs and miracles for us. He didn't have to do that. He could have easily sat in his throne and just looked and be like, okay, all right, look, they're killing each other.
Mm-hmm.
They're committing adultery. They're having sex with all these different things.
They're going against the instructions that I've known.
That's wrong. That's wrong. He could have easily just sat there and let Father God wipe us away, like he did to Sodom and Gomorrah.
You know what I mean? But he didn't. He chose to come down and be like, you know what? I'll step in the gap for them. I'll step in the gap. And that's, you know, that's, I think that's also one of the big calls of being a disciple of Jesus. And I'm not even going to say a Christian, a disciple of Jesus is standing in the gap for those people. You know what I mean? But that comes with learning that there's a relationship, that there's an intimacy with God, that there's an intimacy with Jesus, that there's an intimacy with the Holy Spirit.
And I think that a good example of that is, let's just say you meet someone off the street. Mm-hmm. You're talking to them. You're not going to pick up on anything because you don't have that intimacy. You don't have that relationship with them. Mm-hmm. But like for you and I, for instance, I have a relationship with you. Mm-hmm. I talk to you all the time. So if you look at me a certain way, or you say a word a certain way, I can read in between those looks, I can read in between those lines for a deeper connection, a deeper understanding. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that's the same thing with Jesus, is like once we develop that relationship, that we get that deeper connection, we get those deeper revelations, we get those deeper everything, to where everything starts to make sense and it's not just words in a book.
Yeah, and I think that goes back to that religion. Because I don't know, like, how were you when you were in religion? Like, when you read the Bible, like, did it touch you? Did it move you? Or were you just reading just to read?
So I'm the opposite of you. I actually didn't get connected until I had a relationship.
Okay.
So, like, when I would go to church, it's not like I would read the Bible.
Okay, no, but I'm talking about, okay, when I talk about, like, religion, I'm talking about like when I was young, I was in religion.
Yeah, no, I didn't know God growing up. I don't think I found like my faith until like my middle teen years. Like I was surrounded by it, but I didn't really pay attention to it.
Okay.
Yeah. And then it's like even when I did go to church, it's not like I opened up a Bible and read a verse.
Okay.
Like even when they called like, oh, open up your Bibles, like I never opened up my Bible. I was just like, okay, I'm listening to what you're saying. And that was also a huge thing because I was always going off of what everyone else said. Mm-hmm. I never, it's like, that's like dating someone, but just going off of what everyone else says, not actually getting to know them. Mm-hmm. Like you're communicating through a third party. Mm-hmm. It's like a whole third wheel relationship. I had a third wheel relationship with Jesus my whole entire growing up. I didn't talk to him. I talked to people that knew of him. Mm. Oh my God, that's a third wheel Christian. Hallelujah. I just came up with a new phrase, y'all. Hashtag third wheel Christian.
Y'all should tag us on it when you discovered yourself. But yeah, no, like I was, again, please hear my heart, fam. Hear my heart. Especially my family. Hear my heart. I was religious. Like, I was so religious. Like, I remember doing, like, my first communion, my this, my that. But there was, like, no knowledge of why. It was just like, okay, this is expected of me. I'm gonna just do it. You know what I mean? Can you stop Instagramming while we're being serious? I am calling you out. Because I looked at you and you did not have a connection right now.
Man.
Okay.
Reese's connection is sparking.
Okay.
Sparking out.
Well, let's then. All right. So.
Back to our relationship versus religion.
Exactly. So, like, I was blinded. And it's funny because still Matthew. Matthew chapter 23 verse 19 in the NIV, I'm going back to what I know, what I like. It says, you blind men, which is greater, the gift or the altar that makes the gift scars? Ay, Dios mio. I can't be reading this late at night and trying to sound educated. But you know, it's like I was blinded. I used to just do things because it was expected of me, not because I had a love for it or because I knew it was good for me. Now it's like, wait, I want to spend time with the Lord by myself. I want to spend time reading my Bible. I want to spend time
talking to other people about what I learned or what he's teaching me and the things that I'm going through. I want to spend time in church. You know what I mean? And again, it's not a religious, it's just you need that community of people around you and that voice, because essentially what a pastor is, and in our case is our bishop, like he's our shepherd. We're the sheep. He's our shepherd. So he's giving us instructions of where to go or what path to follow. Now, it's on to us whether we're going to go the way he's directing us, but know that he's the man that's been appointed by God to direct us. You know what I mean? Or whatever house you go to, like that is the man that the Lord has appointed to direct you and to speak into your life. Now you take what that person says and you go back and you look at the word of God and you read it for yourself. And you say, hey, God, the man or the woman that spoke in my house said this about this, can I get that same revelation?
And
you might not.
No, and it's crazy because there was a conversation I overheard about no thank you. Just the words no thank you. So when you say that, someone tells you no thank you, that can mean no thank you or no thank you. It's the same thing with like reading the word. So if someone tells you something, you're not really gonna... You're not going to understand. And that was big for me because I never opened up my Bible. I would always listen to whoever told me, like I just said. So it was when I opened the Bible and I established that relationship that, like I mentioned before, I got a deeper revelation. I got a deeper understanding. I'm like, okay, your word is saying all these things that had I not had a relationship with you, I would have taken at face value.
Yeah.
And so, it's crazy when you think about it, is that everyone used to always say the word of God is, sorry guys, always say the word of God is always living, is always changing. And I'm like, oh, there's no way a word, like, it's a book. Words don't change. But it's not the words that change, it's the revelation that changes. And it's like a relationship when you get married or when you're, you know, when you have a best friend or whatever, it's like you think you know everything about that person. But the deeper and the longer you guys are together, the more you learn. You never know everything about the person you're with. You never know everything about your best friend. You never know everything about the person you're married to. Because you're not God.
You never know everything about even the same child you birthed. You know what I mean? Like,
Yeah, because there's a time and place that they dwindle off. You know maybe everything about them? No, because then they go to school. You don't know what happens at school. I'm dealing with that now.
You don't know Lena at school. You don't know Lena at work. And you don't know Lena at home. Mm. You know, it's the same Lena, but you put her in a different atmosphere. You know what I mean? I could react different.
Only the omnipresent knows.
Yeah. You know, so... I'm just like, I'm really thankful that I have lost religion and found relationship. Because I see God's word and his intentions differently. I see that I could be living a sinful life and God still loves me.
And that goes back to, so I shared something with Lena like last week about love languages. And... Mm-hmm. When you're establishing a relationship with somebody, not everyone understands relationship the same way, which is why you always hear about the five love languages and what have you when you're, you know, in a relationship, when you're parenting. They even have love languages in parenting. But it's like, okay, how do you, if you're in a relationship with somebody or you're, you know, you're parenting or best friend or what have you, how do you interpret love? How do you hear love? How do you learn love? So for me, it's quality time. Quality time is my love language. And so it hit me. The Holy Spirit hit me and was like, okay, are you spending quality time with God? Are you spending quality time in his presence? And I'm like, well, no, I'm not. So I'm expecting God to give me quality time, to fill me with his presence, to give me deeper revelation. I'm expecting him to have a relationship with me, but I'm not giving him a relationship.
Yeah. It's a one-way street.
Yeah, one-way street.
One-way street. And when you get to know God, He's always there. God is always there. And what we have to remember that we have God the Father in heaven, right? We have Jesus, you know, God the Son, Jesus, in heaven interceding for us. So He's the one that's constantly praying for us, constantly praying for us. And then we have God the Holy Spirit, which is the living God that's here on earth with us, the one that wants to commune with us each and every single day. You know what I mean? So He's the one that we need to draw close to. He's always there because that was Jesus' promise. Jesus promised that I must leave so the greater one could come, the great comforter. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So He can come and dwell with us. So we can get power from on high. You know what I mean? And we need to draw to that. He's always there. He is always there. We're the ones who don't give Him the time. We give everything else our time. We can binge watch Netflix a whole season, but we don't have 10 minutes to half an hour to spend digging in the Word of God. You know what I mean? But when we have that relationship, you want to spend that half an hour to an hour to 2 hours in the Word of God. You know what I mean? Getting to know Him more, because you get to learn more of yourself through His Word. Mm. Of more of the things that you need to work on. More of the characters that you need to take up on. And just, you know.
I mean, what better way to learn more about yourself than to spend time with the one who created you?
Amen. Girl, you preaching.
I'm preaching, but I'm halfway asleep, friend.
I know. You should see her face, guys. It's so cute. It's so cute. But again, we just wanted to share with you guys just a little bit of our perspective of religion versus relationship. And I think this is more a me podcast because I've been religious than having that relationship and really loving God the way that He deserves me to love Him. So with that, we just want to say thank you guys for tuning in, because my friend's about to tune all the way out.
Turn out.
She's about to turn out.
Turn down.
She's about to turn out and go night-night. So we just want to say thank you for spending time with us. I know it's been long.
Overdue.
We apologize. We will do better.
No, we're going to do better this year.
We are going to do better this year. It is 2020. We are getting this life all the way snatched up together.
Podcast snatching.
Yes. So we're going to probably, hopefully, our goal is to release the three that we should have released already by the end of this month. But if we only get two, I mean, single mom life.
Jesus is a forgiver. Jesus is a forgiver.
So just bear with us, guys. We really do absolutely love you. We love to hear your feedback. You can catch us on Instagram, Facebook. You can email us at leeree@gmail.com. Hopefully I remember the password. I have it somewhere. It's on a screenshot somewhere in one of my lives.
One of your lives.
So remember, we love you.
God loves you.
And that's enough. Night.
Good night.